Hey, Ed, don't worry about how much you can give. It's just that you gave.
And that you keep us buoyed by telling us those sorts of stories. You know, when those magical things happen, you hear something, you're just, you can't believe it. And then you're connected to it and you go find a vinyl of this jazz you
meant
didn't know.
To be.
If you haven't caught Paul Kivi, a volunteer extraordinaire for us who has put together so much programming, if you haven't caught History of Jazz with Paul, you can hear it tomorrow, noon to one, or on Sundays as well. It's amazing.
It's big time.
He does great work. It is so well done and such information. And most of all, it's really entertaining. And you can feel how passionate he is.
You get educated,
Paul Kivi, about jazz when you tune into that. Coming up, we're going to have local news with the Up North Report.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. 89.9 in Brainerd and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Coming up in this hour, we bring you What's for Breakfast. If you have always wanted to do that, we would love to have you make a reservation. All you do is text the word. No, you don't have to text the word. Just text 218-326-1234. Just tell us what time you'd like to have your breakfast and what your order is.
I want to thank the Grand Rapids Farmers Market, open Wednesdays and Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the intersection of the Golf Course Road and Pekegama Avenue, offering EBT Double Match and many more programs bringing produce to members of our community, grfarmersmarket.org.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. A wildfire that started Wednesday has grown to 50 acres in George H. Crosby Manitou Park near Tofte in Lake County. The Minnesota Interagency Fire Center reports the fire is burning in mixed maple hardwoods and fall leaf litter, primarily in a remote ridge area of the park. Steep terrain is making access to the fire area more difficult for firefighters, but the fire didn't change much overnight. Crews were working on establishing a containment line around the fire's perimeter Thursday. The state park and the Superior Hiking Trail remain open to public use, but due to the increase in firefighting activity, officials are advising visitors to use caution. The criminal vehicular homicide case against Cynthia Cindy Martin will move forward after the judge denied motions to suppress evidence and dismiss the case. Chelsea Perkins gives us the details.
65-year-old Martin of rural Grand Rapids is accused of hitting and killing 19-year-old Carter Hathcock with her SUV. She then drove away from the site on Highway 169 near Nashwalk the night of July 3rd, 2024. In a Wednesday order, Judge Heidi Chandler ruled there is sufficient probable cause for the trial to proceed. Chandler further ruled that evidence gathered as part of a driving while intoxicated investigation will remain in the case record. On the date of the incident, law enforcement responded to a report of a person lying in the middle of the road. Hathcock was pronounced dead at the scene. Martin called to report her possible involvement in the incident early the next morning. She allegedly told law enforcement that she thought she hit an owl or a turkey when they arrived at her home to investigate. After she said she'd consumed 5 milligrams of prescribed hydrocodone over the course of the day of the crash, a DWI investigation occurred. Months later, the results of Martin's blood test were negative for all the substances for which it was tested. DWI is not a charge she faces in the case. The incident and prosecution of the case have been under public scrutiny because of Martin's political leadership positions. Martin is the chair of the 8th Congressional District DFL Party and vice chair of the Itasca County DFL Party, according to the organization's websites. A plea hearing is scheduled for November 5th in Itasca County District Court. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
The Minnesota Department of Human Rights has secured two settlements of what it calls blatant workplace sex discrimination from northern Minnesota employers. Lakes Concrete Plus in Bemidji reached a $45,000 settlement over its unlawful firing of a concrete truck driver. According to an investigation, the truck driver was fired on account of her sex, with Lakes Concrete reportedly telling her that driving a concrete truck was not, quote, woman's work, and that she should find a job, quote, more fitting. Key Lime Air in Thief River Falls also reached a $45,000 settlement with a qualified applicant they refused to hire on account of his sex. The department found that Key Lime Air has a practice of only hiring women as flight attendants because it believes women are, quote, better than men for the position. Minnesota's civil rights law requires employers to prevent and address sex discrimination with job applicants and employees. The Federal Small Business Administration has opened a disaster loan outreach center at Bemidji's Fire Station No. 2. The agency is offering low-interest disaster loans for businesses, private nonprofits, and residents affected by the June 21st severe storms. The center will be closed on Monday in observance of Indigenous Peoples/Columbus Day, but is otherwise open during the federal government shutdown. Hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays. Businesses and nonprofits can apply for business physical disaster loans and borrow up to $2 million to repair or replace disaster-damaged or destroyed assets. Homeowners and renters are eligible to apply for home and personal loans up to $100,000 to replace or repair personal property. Homeowners can also apply for up to $500,000 to replace or repair their primary residence. Find more information at kaxe.org. That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories and photos at kaxe.org, where you can also find content from our music, phonology, and morning show teams. Sign up for the Buzz newsletter for the week's best stories and audio from your favorite community radio station. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
It is 7:06. You are tuned into People Powered KAXE. We bring you a mix of national, international news and local news like the Up North Report. The stories Larissa was talking about there, they are available at our website as well. More in depth, you can read them at kaxe.org. We'll be hearing from more from Morning Edition about ICE assaults, reality check, and the latest installment of StoryCorps, as two friends get together to remember the moms that they lost at very different times in their lives. Stay tuned for that.
I want to thank UPM Blend and Paper, a provider of renewable materials solutions with a focus on sustainability and innovation, upm.com. And we also want to thank Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone, a broadband cooperative featuring all fiber optic GigaZone internet speeds up to 10 gig, and local customer service. Learn more at paulbunyan.net.
Mary, thank you so much. She texted in and said, good morning, all. Good morning to you too, Mary, but you're noting how dark it is in your early morning runs. You can text anytime at 218-326-1234.
You know, when you're driving early in the morning, you run into school buses. Man, some of these kids got to be sitting outside. There's no light whatsoever.
Yeah. You know, in 1976, that was the year that KXE began. It's almost 50 years ago. There was no federal funding in that first year. But then we got it in the next year. We proved that we were a public community radio station. But as of October 1st, which is not that 9 days ago, we are gone. Once again operating without federal funding. This is really kind of a powerful thing to remember, is that we started out on our own, people-powered, and we are determined to continue on. Folks continue to donate to us to make sure that there's a future here where people get to share stories, you get to hear trusted news, you get to hear about Sports Page and, you know, all of the things that you've come to love. You can be a part of it by helping us out. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. We cannot thank you enough for keeping us going. We are more than ever determined and committed to do our work and to be committed to this region that we love so much.
I get two or three times a week, I get hit by people saying, you know, how's it doing? How's the station doing? You're going to be okay. And yes, we are, but we need your help.
Yep.
I want to thank Northland Foundation, working with Northeast Minnesota, offering grants, small business supports, and programs to help people and communities working towards a future where everyone feels they belong and can thrive. Northland FDN.org.
This weekend on Stay Human, Stories of Grace, a Teacher's Kindness and How It Feels, when things turn out right. Great music, too, Saturday morning at 9, Sunday at 5 p.m., hosted and produced by Michael Goldberg.
Sunny today, highs 60 to 63 with breezy north winds at 10 to 25 miles per hour. Clear tonight, lows in the mid to upper 30s. Saturday, sunny with temps in the low to mid 60s. And then Sunday, looks like we're going to get some rain and breezy condition, temps in the mid to upper 60s.
Lake Bemidji State Park has a Fall Fest candlelight adventure tomorrow, 6:30 to 8. You can take a short candlelit hike to the Lavinia Group Camp for a campfire and then stop by the Visitor Center for a craft, treats, games, and animals. Costumes are encouraged.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Layla Faldin.
And I'm A. Martinez. The White House says assaults on Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers are up more than 1,000% this year. And they're using that big alleged increase to justify deploying troops to American cities and to investigate what it calls domestic terrorist organizations. But there is no publicly available evidence to back up that claim. That's the findings of an analysis from Colorado Public Radio. Allison Sherry is a reporter there, joins us now from Denver. Allison, so what are the findings?
Yeah, you know, we found that the assaults on federal officers have grown recently, but nowhere near 1,000%. Our analysis shows it's around 25%. And it's probably a little more now as ICE embarks on aggressive enforcement actions in Chicago and other places, and those actions are sparking blowback in the community.
So tell us about your investigation. How did you conclude that the number of assaults is much lower than the White House is claiming?
I mean, at first we asked, you know, we asked the Department of Homeland Security for data that backed that claim, and they declined to provide any context or numbers they're keeping. Both we and NPR have repeatedly asked for this data. So then we went to federal court filings to arrive at this number. We looked at the number of charges filed specifically for assault on a federal officer in courts across the country and looked at 5 years' worth of records. And we did find that assaults on ICE officers have gone up for sure in this administration, again, around 25%. But that's nowhere near the administration's claim of 1,000% increase. And the administration has also insisted that it will aggressively prosecute any assaults on ICE officers. So that means that 1,000% increase would eventually be reflected in court filings, but we're not seeing it.
ICE, though, they have been a lot more active this year, operations in Los Angeles and also other cities, which means a lot more opportunities for them to get into scuffles or be assaulted. So did you see any evidence of that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we did find that some of the most recent increase is reflected in Los Angeles, where there were big deployments and immigration enforcement actions by ICE agents. And I assume we'll see more assaults on officers in Chicago, for example, and other places as well. And I should just note that assaults on a federal officer can take a while to be investigated and show up as charges. So there will be a lag time in the data, but we're just not seeing these indications that it's anywhere near what they've been claiming.
Yeah, but hasn't the administration been making these claims about huge increases and assaults on officers for months now?
Yeah, since June. And that's what started us down this road. You know, over the summer between June and August, the increase in assaults they were claiming jumped from 400% to 1,000%. And this is relevant for a number of reasons. You know, credibility is one. But notably right now, they're using this alleged huge increase in assaults to justify sending National Guard troops to places like Chicago to keep ICE agents safe, even though local officials say there's no crisis of violence.
How has the Trump administration responded to your fact-checking their claims?
They haven't been in touch. We've asked repeatedly for the data backing up the claims. They did send us a bunch of old press releases about attacks on officers. But again, nothing they've sent has added up to 1,000%.
All right. Allison Sherry with Colorado Public Radio. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Time now for StoryCorps. Grant Brenner and Ari Gildinger's met in elementary school in New Jersey in the 1970s. They had a lot in common, except that Brenner lost his mother to cancer when he was very young.
I was a shy little kid. I didn't want to separate from my mother, and she took me everywhere. I would go to restaurants with her or shopping at Saks Fifth Avenue. But I don't really remember my mother very well. I have vague flashes of memories, like her smoking a cigarette. The most vivid memory I have is the last time I saw her.
When was that?
It was a morning, and she had to go to the hospital. I remember her standing in the hallway. My father and one of my brothers were holding her up because she couldn't support her own weight. and her chemo wig was kind of askew. She insisted on wearing her favorite fur coat. She did not want to go to the hospital. I think she must have known this was it for her. I was 9, and after my mother died, my father was like, "Your mom wrote letters for all of you, and here's yours. I'll read it to you if you want me to."
Yeah.
Okay. "Dear Grant, you are so little, I don't know quite what to say to you. I wanted to have you with all my heart. My greatest joy in life would be to stay with you. We cannot always have what we want, so we must be content with what we have. I give you loves, hugs, and kisses for all the tomorrows. Have a good life. Love, Mother." It's very sad. I wish it were a letter, but it's more of a note. But in some ways, I think that note also carried me through.
When she died, I remember my mom saying it at the dinner table, but I couldn't really understand the kind of pain you were going through.
You stuck with me, though.
We would watch Doctor Who.
Play Dungeons and Dragons. There were times where I really wished that I were in a different world.
And my parents, they really enjoyed having you around. They joked that you were like my brother.
Your mom was the closest thing I ever had to a second mom.
She died a year and a half ago, and I really felt you understood.
I didn't go to my mother's funeral. I really regret that. And I cried more at your mother's funeral than I've ever cried in my whole life.
My mom really loved you, and she wanted to make sure you were okay.
Yeah, she did.
Grant Brenner and Ari Gildinger's Remembering Their Mothers, Judith Horowitz and Esther Gildinger's. Their recording is archived at the Library of Congress.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from Dignity Memorial. For many families, remembering loved ones means honoring the details that made them unique. Dignity Memorial is dedicated to compassion in every detail of a life celebration. DignityMemorial.com. And from Subaru. Subaru has donated more than $70 million to support the adoption, rescue, transport, and health of over 700,000 animals. Learn more at Subaru.com/pets.
This is NPR News.
Morning edition. You hear it here on KAXC, putting words to stuff that we don't usually hear in media. You know, you might have that conversation with your best friend about your mom's, but it stops you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it made me think of both of us. Our moms never had a chance to say goodbye. They died kind of unexpectedly.
Yeah.
So you have to go back and remember the things they did say to you. So, different kind of situation. Powerful.
Right.
Holy cow.
Right. And we had, I don't know, I had kind of both with my parents. One that was a long time, you know, in the hospital, you know, kind of time. And then one suddenly. And was that similar to you?
No,
dad?
My dad died suddenly. You know, he wasn't in a situation where he was able to say anything. Not that he would have said anything.
Sure.
But yeah, when you hear things like that, you think about your parents. And one thing I've learned is get to know your parents better. A lot of times they don't necessarily talk to you or you don't talk to them. And even if you're 15 years old or you're 60 years old, talk to them. Find out a little bit more about them because you never get it back. We would like to thank the Bagley Area Arts Collaborative offering workshops in October, Mixed Media Animal Portrait on October 17th through the 19th, and The History of Harvesting of Clay, October 22nd, both held at 9 Central Street West in Bagley. For more information and registration, at bagleyarts.org.
Native Defense presents the second annual Our Voices Restored community event tomorrow from 11 to 3. It's at the Beaux Arts Ballroom on the campus of Bemidji State University. There'll be a panel discussion, local music, a community meal, and resource table. This is free and open to all. Got more local news coming up with the news from northeastern Minnesota, Marshall Helmberger, in conversation with Jennifer Barr. This Sunday, the Heartland Symphony Orchestra performs at the Gitche Zibi Center at 2:30 for the arts in Brainerd. For Free will donations accepted at the door. You can find more at heartlandsymphony.com.
It is time for the Border News Roundup with Marshall Helmberger from the Timber Jay, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Good morning, Marshall.
Well, good morning, Jennifer.
First of all, let's talk about some job changes happening in a few Iron Range towns.
Yeah, a couple surprises this week. We found out that the Tower Clerk Treasurer Michael Schultz is going to be leaving at the end of the month from his position that he's held here in Tower for the past 4 years. And he has accepted a position in Bowabic as city administrator. And I think, you know, the primary motivation here is simply money. The city of Tower just is not able to match that that salary that Bowabic's able to pay. And also it's a little better title, a little more responsibility. Although essentially Schultz has been acting as city administrator here in Tower for quite some time. The clerk treasurer is pretty much the primary administrative official in small towns, in Tower being one of them. And so I think he'll be familiar, I'm sure, with the job duties. Although it's my understanding he'll actually have more help in the office. That's one of the things that, you know, when you have a very small community, a lot tends to fall on, you know, your top official there, like the clerk treasurer in a lot of small towns. I mean, it's a huge workload. So having some additional assistance, I'm sure, will make things a little bit easier. But he promised he'll work with whoever comes in to replace him. The city council met this week, and they decided that they're going to try to replace him on an interim basis for now, since it's a pretty quick turnaround to do a long-term hire. So Michael said he will certainly work with the interim and, you know, potentially a permanent replacement, just to make sure there's a smooth transition. I mean, he lives in Tower. Okay. And isn't planning to change that. So, you know, it's still a community he's very, very closely tied to.
Sure. And then the police chief in Babbitt is also leaving?
Yeah, that's right. And Babbitt, you know, we've reported in recent weeks about just some of the political infighting and budget troubles and finance problems that the city of Babbitt has had in recent months. And there's just been a lot of dissension within, between the council and some of the heads of departments within the city. And I think this is probably reflective of that. The Babbitt police chief has applied in Ely to be an officer there. He wouldn't be coming on as chief, but he'd be coming on with, you know, 5 years experience. So he'd be up a little bit on the pay scale there in Ely. And that has to be approved by the union. So the council did vote to approve his hiring, but they said it's contingent on the union accepting this arrangement for him starting at a higher pay scale than would normally be the case. And they wanted to make sure that they're not setting a precedent by doing that. So I'm assuming that gets worked out. It looks like the Babbitt Police Chief Troy Bissonnette will be joining the Ely Police Department. And that'll leave the city of Babbitt obviously looking for a new chief.
Up next, Minnesota Senator Grant Hochschild has announced that he will not run for the U.S. House in the 8th District.
Correct. Yep. And it's kind of an unusual announcement in a way. You know, I mean, he's a first-term senator. But I think at the same time, Hochschild is definitely seen as kind of a rising star in the DFL. He came into the legislature with considerable experience in politics. I mean, he had been, he's quite young. He had served as a staffer for Democratic North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp, and that was several years ago now, obviously. But he'd also served in rural development at the USDA under the Obama administration. So, you know, he definitely had connections and experience in the political realm. So even though he's a first termer, he definitely has shown his political chops, I think, as a senator here in Minnesota. He's been very effective. He works hard. Clearly, he's been very involved in a lot of different issues up here, and I think has gained a lot of respect from people. So there'd been quite a bit of talk and some thought that he might jump into the race against Stauber. And I think that's why he put this announcement out, is he wanted to make sure that, you know, nobody was kind of, you know, sitting around waiting for him to decide what to do. And so, you know, by putting this out now, that certainly clears the way for any others who might have considered challenging Stauber. I mean, this will, you know, Stauber is pretty entrenched, I would say, right now. I mean, it's probably unlikely that he would, you know, face a major threat from a Democrat at this point. However, you know, depending on how things go over the next year, there certainly is the possibility that it could be a bit of a, maybe not as strong a year for Republican candidates. You know, given that in midterms, when you've got, you know, total control of the government in a midterm election, you know, typically that party in power takes some losses. And, you know, so this, if there was going to be a year when, you know, Stauber could be taken out by a strong Democratic candidate, this could potentially be the year. And I think there was some thought that Hochschild, you know, given his success and notoriety in the legislature, you know, could have been a contender for that. But at this point, you know, he's said he's not interested. He's going to continue in the Senate. Will run for re-election here. And then he also has young children. And I think, you know, he just didn't want to be away. You know, so it, and you can imagine right now is kind of a frustrating time anyway to be serving in Washington.
And then your boat club has been facing a lawsuit. They've had some publicity in the Star Tribune.
Yeah, this was kind of a surprise. It turned out that that Wells Fargo, which has financed their, you know, acquisition each year of their boat fleet for that they use for the summer, there had been some differences over, you know, kind of how that financing was structured. And according to Luke Kajawa, he's the principal with your boat club, who we talked to at length this week, you know, he said they'd been negotiating over the course of the last several months about some changes. He said, you know, financially, he said there's no issue with the boat club. He was surprised they filed this lawsuit in the end. And he said the loan is current. He said they, you know, got caught up right away as soon as they filed this lawsuit to try to address the issue. But of course, it, you know, the fact that it made it into the paper, it made it into the Star Tribune here over the weekend, it was definitely something that caught our attention, especially because not only does your boat club have a large marina here on Lake Vermilion, they're also, or at least the principal, Luke Kajawa, is a major funder of a real estate development here in Tower. And, you know, so there was concern about, you know, whether that was going to run into some problems. And certainly if the company was in running into difficulty, that could cause problems for the development in other ways too, because the development is right next to the marina. And, you know, there's a lot of synergy. Obviously, the thinking was, you know, their members could either, you know, rent on a short-term basis these houses or cabins that are being built, otherwise, or their members could buy them as well, and then have their access to the boat club, you know, right next to it. So, so there was a lot of synergy there. And so there was, you know, a lot of concern. I mean, when we saw the story, we were quite nervous about it. Certainly, it sounds like from talking to Mr. Kajawa that the situation is under control. He said it's not affecting any of their operations. He said they're fine financially, and it's just and like he said, the issue is pretty much resolved at this point, although he said they are going to be looking for a different financial partner in dealing with this in the future.
So your boat club has locations throughout the state of Minnesota, and we're talking about the local chapter in the Tower area, correct?
Yeah, they've got, I think they've got Leech Lake, I know. They've got marinas around Brainerd. I know they have one in Ely. So they're really widely spread across northern central Minnesota. I mean, also in the Twin Cities, I know they've got them on, you know, like Minnetonka and places like that.
And this is a thing where people are a member of this club, and then they can use these boats, that they don't have to own the boat, but they're a club member,
right,
to have access.
Okay. Exactly, yeah. And it seems to have been a quite successful model.
I assume you have had a hard freeze up there this week, or did you have one earlier?
Yes, certainly did. We were, depending on where you were, it was in the low to mid-20s,
yeah,
you know, pretty much throughout the area. So, yeah, it's hopefully that'll prompt some of the late-turning aspen to finally turn. It's been such a weird and kind of disappointing color year. It started out very promising, and then all those early-turning maples kind of faded away, and then the aspen turn has been really odd. It looked like they were going, you know, some turned and then dropped their leaves, and then others are still green. It's just, it's very strange. And I guess, you know, I don't know, it seems like it's been a few years like this. These warm Septembers and warm Octobers are just not really conducive to, you know, the kind of color change we're used to.
Right. That is Marshall Helmberger from the Timber Jay newspaper. You can find more at timberjay.com. Thanks so much for your time, Marshall.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Take care.
It's 7:32. That's the news from Northeastern Minnesota. Thanks for tuning in to the Friday morning show. We are people powered. I'm Heidi Holton. We've got sports coming up after 8 o'clock, and we need you if you want to be our guest on What's
yes,
for Breakfast this morning.
We need you. This mm-hmm. is a plea for you to call in, and you don't have to be nervous. Many people, it's their first time, and when we're done with it, they say, oh, it's just like having a conversation, and that's what it is. But we need to know you. We want to know you a little bit better. But most importantly, we want to know what you eat. I want to thank Clock Hole Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, making traditional old world styles of beer, as well as modern classics for 7 years now. Their tap room is open Monday through Thursday, 3 to 8, Friday and Saturday, noon to 8, and Sundays at 6. ClockHoleBrewing.com. And we want to thank Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting, oakhillseniors.com.
Sunny today with highs 60 to 63, breezy north winds 10 to 25, clear overnight with lows in the mid to upper 30s, and Sunday or Saturday, sunny temperatures in the low to mid 60s, showers moving in and are likely on Sunday, mostly cloudy, temperatures in the mid to upper 60s. It's been nice to not be as hot this week.
I yes,
think everyone's
it has.
Enjoying that quite a bit. So many things going on in our region. Don't forget, we are a resource. You're involved in your community. You have an event going on. Send it our way. You can email psa@kaxe.org. I also want to remind you that this is National Fire Prevention Week, and the Minnesota DNR offers guidelines for wildfire prevention. You should keep campfires small and manageable. Always have plenty of water nearby. Hold off on burning large debris piles until there is 3 inches of snow cover. And also check if a burning permit is needed. If you see a wildfire, move to a safe location and call 911.
I think sometimes we get in the mood like if it's fall, there's no way it can be fire season, but it is. It is dry right now, so be careful out there.
There is an Indigenous Peoples Celebration this Monday, October 13th from 4:30 to 7 at the Gidjizibi Center for the Arts in Brainerd. You can see the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Color Guard, Student Hand Drum Group, and the exhibit Why Treaties Matter. It is time, don't you think?
It's time for what? Best wishes. We do our very best to get your birthday right, maybe even your anniversary. And
yep.
Heidi, I think you should take today.
I do too. Lowell Johnson and Colleen LeBlanc, happy anniversary to you both from Fort Ripley, 44 years of marriage. Anissa Grotejohn from Grand Rapids. Anissa, have a great birthday. Deb Isaacson from Reamer, happy 69th to you. John Jaden is 77 today from Bemidji. Stig Edwardson is 71 from Gilbert.
Stig?
Isn't that great?
Oh my gosh, love it.
Donna O'Connor from Eveleth, happy birthday to you. Michael McAvoy is 69 from Nashwauk. Tate Doetzler is 10 today from Aiken, and happy golden birthday. It is the 10th. To Tate, he's the grandson of KEXE members Lynn and Mark Jacobs. And my nephew from Anchorage, Alaska, Mac Holton. Now that you say the golden, I remember when he was 10, but Mac today celebrates 33 years. You remember him?
Absolutely. I can't
Little guy.
I can't believe this is happening.
Yes.
Tomorrow we have birthdays. Scott Belknap is 72 from Grand Rapids. Denise Latimer is having a birthday from Grand Rapids. Becca Lundstrom's 55 from Arlington, or Nevis via Arlington. Max Magnus is 19 from Big Fork. And Maren Hagen is having a birthday today from Grand Rapids. Also an anniversary. Laura and Peter Marshall celebrating the 39th. And Peter, I just want to do a little help for you. Pearls are the traditional 39th anniversary gift. So I don't know if you have enough in the pocketbook, but consider a beautiful pearl necklace, earrings, or a bracelet to commemorate this special occasion.
Wow. That's quite a service you provide for people.
Oh, well, we're a community radio station.
I'm going to play a little music now. It's a performer my nephew turned me on to. He's really involved in the music scene there. He used to be in a metal band as a drummer.
So we're hearing some metal?
Nope. And he works in like music venues and does all kinds of different things in Anchorage. But this is Bethlehem Shalom. Bound to Love is the name of the song by Bethlehem Shalom.
Loved it.
Going out to Mac Holton.
33 years young today.
That's right. Coming up, we'll have our daily dose of nature with John Latimer and Phenology. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Friday morning. How's that? I went through the week.
Well, you slept in
Wednesday.
A little bit.
I slept.
You don't want to cut days out.
I didn't really want to admit it, but I slept an hour later.
Yeah.
Than I should have.
I came in, you were looking a little puzzled, maybe like, what the heck? Usually you get up at about 4 on Fridays.
No, not Friday. Fridays.
What time? People need to know.
Well, 4:45.
Okay.
5-ish. You know, depends. Yeah. No, that was not today, but I'm taking it in stride.
Absolutely.
Even though I'm one of those people, I don't love being late for anything, but I kept it. I kept it chill.
You did. You were pretty calm.
Mm-hmm. You've seen me other times.
I've not been that often.
I've overslept, but
no.
Yeah.
And then in just a little bit, what's for breakfast? And we would love, 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 love to have you join us. Just text us 218-326-1234.
Or when you hear the theme music.
Theme song, just boom, hit it and just take a risk. There's no risk involved, but just, you know, step out of your box a little bit.
There you go.
I want to thank the Rife in Grand Rapids presenting Colin Bracewell for its Cozy Concert Series. October 17th at 7, Bracewell performs original music combining elements of indie and pop with saxophone. TheRife.org.
It is, did we talk about the weather already? Today's going to be sunny, 60 to 63, looking clear, about the same temps, but then some rain moving in, we hope, on Sunday. We could definitely use it.
So, going to golf this afternoon, or this morning, actually, and did it a couple days ago with Bob Cahill, the old pro at Pekegama, the young pro, ex-pro at the Pekegama. But at Pekegama Golf Course, on the 18th hole, as you come down the last hole, they have two giant trees that are dead. Mm. I mean, just bark. But they've left them because eagles land on them.
Sure.
And there were two massive eagles on it. It was so beautiful.
Those are, yeah, there's a
what
ton.
Is about them? You just, they're just awe-inspiring.
We have one that... That is right across from where we are that we, you know, it's like a neighbor. We're kind
we're
nosy. We
part
watch
of the family.
What's going on. We look through the spotting scope and pay attention to what's happening. And yeah, it's exciting to kind of keep track of those things. Good segue, John.
Thank you.
On today's date, October 10th in the year 2000, my son Martin directed me to a spot where he had seen some snakes crawling into a hole in the ground. Turns out... A tree had blown down, and the excavation created by the stump left some holes in the soil that the snakes could exploit as a place of hibernation. So the snakes, and there were three of them, were crawling into these vacuums, vacancies, left by the roots that had been torn loose from the tree. And those... openings provided places where they could huddle together below the frost line and wait out the winter. They will do so by reducing their respiration and metabolism to nearly death levels. And once the earth warms up in the spring, they will emerge fit and healthy and ready to go back to work.
.743 coming up, the long, long tradition of breakfast on the radio on KAXE. There's so many things going on in our region, including live music out there. Tonight, you can catch DJ Kylie at Jack Pine Brewery in Nisswa at 6 p.m.
Grant Edwards is at Smoke on the Water in Coleraine starting at 6.
Kyle Peterson and Friends will be at the Community Center in Jacobson at 6.
And the Acoustics at the Bobber Bar in Cass Lake.
Christopher David Hansen will be at Bridget's Pub in Bemidji, 7:30.
And the Jason Waldron Band's at the Eagles in Grand Rapids starting at 8:30.
And tomorrow, the Tattletale Forge North and Mary and Emily LaPlante will be at Rapids Brewing in Grand Rapids. That will be at 6 p.m. We do have a Sunday event this time.
We do have a Sunday event. Four Blue Teardrops at the Ore House in Gilbert at 3 o'clock.
All right. What's for breakfast is coming up next. You know you want to do it. You can either...
Yes.
I don't know. Texting might not work. You probably need to call now. When you hear the theme music, text us at 218-326-1234. Or you just need to be a member or become a member after we chat. And it's a lot of fun.
It don't matter if you're tall, it don't matter if you're small, it don't matter if you're blue or green or any shape at all, 'cause I'll be yours and you'll be mine to last, and we'll be friends holding fast. You don't have to be smart, you don't have to play a part. What better thing could ever be than a kindly heart? And I'll have yours, and you have mine to last. We'll be friends holding fast. Talk all day, I'll listen. There's nothing we'll be missing. We don't need to paint the world, everything will glisten.
Very special What's for Breakfast this morning. It's where we pull up a chair to one of our members' kitchen tables. We get to know them a little bit better. This morning, Jen Libby from Pengilly is with us. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, I'm glad I got through.
So,
first, Jen, Heidi and I were just kind of briefly talking. We don't get many Pengilly calls over the last 25 years or so. This is a very special moment for us.
Well, that's pretty cool because I feel like it's a pretty special area.
So have you had your breakfast yet?
I have not.
Okay.
To be honest, it was a little bit of a chaotic morning.
Oh.
And I always feel a little bit more calm when I listen to the radio and drop my children off where they need to be.
Okay.
What was the chaos this
and
morning?
See if I get through.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's pertaining to the morning, and that's why my daughter was asking.
Jen, can you find a bit? Can you?
Oh, we can, not quite hearing you.
Can you go outside or something?
It might be because I'm in Pengilly.
Oh.
I thought she was going to say because she's in the basement.
Maybe that's why you don't get many calls.
Don't move. Okay, don't move. You're perfect right now.
It's sounding clear now. So okay. That's good.
Explain the chaos.
Yeah, it's my daughter's too. That's. Okay. There's probably not a whole lot more I need to say. you know how it is. Yeah. Who wants to wake up on a Friday morning when you don't really want to?
Oh, yeah.
But all is well, and things are flowing how they should be.
Good. And you're calming. You're listening to the radio. You got through this morning. So when are you going to when are you going to find time to feed yourself?
I'm probably going to eat in the next like 20 minutes.
Okay.
But if it helps, I did cook my breakfast at 11 o'clock last night.
Whoa. Steel cut oats.
You know, after the children are in bed, because the morning is always chaos. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make my breakfast tonight.
Wow.
And what was it?
I wouldn't have called in, but I was a little bit proud of it.
Good.
My chickens are finally laying eggs, you know, just in time for winter. And we were up to like 16. I was like, oh my word, we should probably do something with these. So I was going to make a quiche, and then the recipe I found was like bake for 50 minutes or something. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be up till 1 in the morning. So I settled for scrambled eggs.
Oh, and you're not going to have to make them. This is great.
Wait a minute. You made...
I know, right?
You made...
And then...
You made scrambled eggs and then you're heating them up?
I'm going to reheat them. Is that kind of sinful?
No. I've never really heard that.
I have.
Ever heard that.
When I've made too many scrambled eggs, you know, and then you can eat them the next day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, if I'm in a big hurry, I have eaten them cold, but that's definitely not as
right.
What might accompany the eggs? Do you put cheese on them? You can have coffee? What?
I would like cheese on mine, but my children don't. So I was thinking of them, and then I was like, I'll heat some eggs up for my kids this morning. I do have two. The 10-year-old is easy, though. But they don't like cheese on their eggs, so... If I want that, I'll just have to add it separate on my own time. But I always like a little bit of dill on my eggs.
Nice.
Sure.
I felt like I accidentally added a tad too much garlic salt, but that's okay. It'll get me through.
Yes, it will. And will you have some toast with that?
I'm not going to.
Okay.
But I did make some bacon last night as well, which I'm kind of excited for. I'm not sure if you guys have had meat or bacon from Fred's and Goodland, but it's pretty great.
No, I have not.
So
all of their stuff is really good.
So, Jen, do you, I hate to even ask this question. Do you know what I'm going to ask to put on your scrambled eggs? Do you put ketchup on your eggs?
No, I don't.
Oh, this sounds like I upset her.
No, me either. I'm in, Jen and I are in the same team here. You do, John?
I have.
Yes.
You have. Okay.
I've never been a real good friend of ketchup. It can hang out at my table, but I don't really enjoy its company. Yeah,
how does it feel to finally admit that?
See? It's beautiful. This is therapy.
You know, and I'm not mad at ketchup. I mean, I will use ketchup on lots of things. And if I have hash browns and it kind of goes over to the
eggs, no, you get mad.
I'm okay. No, I'm not mad at that. I'm just never going to choose ketchup specifically for eggs.
When Jen was Jen said, "I've never been a fan of ketchup." The first thing
I'm not a good friend.
A good friend. I automatically thought of a T-shirt. I could just see you walking around with that shirt on.
So what happens with a hot dog for you?
Oh, that's easy.
I would choose mustard any day over ketchup.
Right. What, Jen? Is this a child? Is this a childhood trauma or something?
Well, I think so many people do just
that's
mustard.
A good question.
Yeah.
You know what happened the other day? My son had a sleepover and the children wanted eggs, which was fine. Great. And then they both wanted ketchup on their eggs. And my son didn't eat most of his food, which is a common problem when he has kids over. So I was like, well, I'm not going to waste all this food. So I was like, I'll just reheat it and eat their eggs and ketchup. And it was not satisfying. I did it, and I did not enjoy it.
But there is ketchup in your refrigerator.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is it for me? Not really. Are most of the things I do for myself? Not really.
You know, we are waking up northern Minnesota. Katie's just texted in. She says, I'm a mustard only, too. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, honey mustard, preferably.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
I would go more that route.
All right, so yeah, let's...
Dijon is nice.
Well, those folks in Penn-Gilly, I'm telling you, they're mustards.
No kidding.
So, Jen, what about a beverage?
Milk, for sure.
Wow, that's a rarity.
With a side of coffee, though.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I always like a little bit of the hot and cold. So a glass of milk and straight black coffee.
So, skim, 2%. What kind of milk you have?
So I've gotten a lot of grief about this. So I grew up on skim, which is how I thought milk was supposed to be. And then I've been told over the years, boy, that's like water. I wouldn't even give that to, you know, me and my dog.
Yeah.
And then I have friends though who are adults and drink whole milk. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what I gave my baby, whole milk. Like, what? That's what you drink as a grown person. So I feel like maybe 1%, 2% would be a happy medium, but I usually stick around 1%.
What is your immediate reaction when your friends tell you that they drink whole milk? I mean, what goes through your head?
I'm like flabbergasted. Like, I gave my baby that a year ago because like she's growing and needs the extra calcium or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, why would you drink that?
Hey, Jen, do you have a dog?
Yeah.
Oh, she's moved.
Yeah.
She's moved. You cannot move, Jen.
Are you looking for a pet?
No. I already have two.
Such a good question.
I already have two. So that's it. You're kind of saying that you don't like your dog. Well, she says if I'm looking for a pet, she's thinking of giving up her dog.
Take it that way.
What kind of dog you have and what's his name, his or her name?
And what's the problem?
Yeah, what's the problem?
It's an ongoing joke. We have two dogs. I do love them. One is just a little bit of she rolls to her own rhythm and she just does her dog thing. So any annoying thing that you can kind of imagine a dog might do, she would be capable of.
Sure, like rolling and stuff on the trail. What kind of dog?
There's kind of a funny story behind her. There was a free ad in the Shopper a handful of years ago, and it was like, free Australian Shepherd in North Home. And we're like, wow, who would just give an Australian Shepherd away? And we had just gotten an Australian Shepherd puppy like a handful of months before. So we're like, cool, they can be playmates because they're such high energy. And so we go to get this dog, and we meet the lady in Deer River. I wonder if she's listening right now, because that would be really funny. And we're like, how do you just say, no, thanks, we're not going to take the dog? But it clearly was not an Australian Shepherd.
Oh, really?
I mean, she's cute, and she's just like this quirky little thing, but we're like, wow, she really advertised the like 1% Australian Shepherd in her.
But so you didn't, you did take her.
We took her. Yep. We've had her like 5 years. So we just kind of joke around like the lady maybe really over advertised her because she wanted to part ways with her.
Yeah.
What is the dog's name? Did you keep the dog's name that she had?
Oh yeah. That's a good question.
We did. Yeah. Yep. We kept the name. Her name is Missy. We did a DNA test on her, actually, just for kicks and giggles, because we're like, this is hilarious. She looks a lot like a Cocker Spaniel, black, small, curly, black ears.
You were scammed.
Yeah, and what did she end up, she looks like a Cocker Spaniel, but what actually is she?
She's a large portion Spaniel. I think there's, no joke, minimal Australian Shepherd in her, and then probably like 15 other breeds. There's a terrier in her.
Oh my gosh. did it help with the high energy of the other dog?
It did. Yeah, it really did. The dog we actually, wow, we're diverting from breakfast.
That's
here.
Okay.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So the dog we actually got to be companions for her passed away at a really young age, which was super unfortunate. She got blasto. It was terrible. Oh. But we have since gotten another Australian Shepherd, and they seem to be clicking quite well.
Well, that's good.
What's that dog's name?
That dog also came with its name. We kind of have a history of getting pets and just sticking with their names. I had a dog, Oso, for like 12 years, which was somebody else's dog, and we rolled with his name. And then this dog, his name is Spirit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, Jenna, I've never heard of a dog called a large portion spaniel. What is it, just gigantic, or is it over? What does that mean?
No, in the DNA. Mostly spaniel, not that.
Oh, I see. Yes. I see. That's the definition in that. Yes. Ooh, okay.
Yes.
Like if there was a pie chart.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yes. It's not a large portion.
I'd never heard of that breed. What does it look like?
Well, I can drop her off at your door if you want to find out.
No, that's okay. That's.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just getting messy.
So, Jennifer, we always ask folks when they call in for What's for Breakfast, why do you listen? Why do you support KEXE?
Boy, how much time do we have? Just kidding. But, I mean, it's definitely a mood booster. You don't find a radio station like this anywhere. I mean, sure, if I don't quite feel like listening to the news, I can pop something else on or turn on my own podcast or whatever. But you're definitely my number one. You actually are for real our number one on my on my car.
A mood booster. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely having a little bit of a rough morning, as I'd mentioned previously, but I feel ready to roll now and go heat up those eggs and eat my bacon. And I don't feel like I need to get checked in for my blood pressure level.
That's beautiful.
Us too, you know?
Heidi's blood pressure was through the roof, and so we started talking to you, and now she's fine.
That's kind of true, but yeah.
I know. I actually had enough giggles to make a little bit of a tear end on the side of my eye at one point.
Well, thank you so much for supporting us and for being on What's for Breakfast. Homestead Mills is our sponsor. You can either have country blend cereal or wild rice pancakes. What would you like?
I would love the wild rice pancakes. I wish I was having that right now. That sounds so good.
Now, I think don't heat.